Learn from the best, the Holy Spirit. Build confidence to face challenges. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you teach us from your word, and I pray that you will work in our hearts so that you can make the written word that we read in your Bible into the revealed word, the Rhema word. Thank you, Lord, for your love letter to us, as seen in the Bible that you've provided for us, so that we can learn from thee, and so that we can stay with Christ and live deeply in him and receive him with open arms when he returns. Greetings, saints. Our reading is 1 John 2, verse 26 to 29. Message. I've written to warn you about those who are trying to deceive you, but they're no match for what is embedded deeply within you, Christ's anointing no less. You don't need any of their so-called teaching. Christ's anointing teaches you the truth on everything you need to know about yourself and him, uncontaminated by a single lie. Live deeply in what you were taught. And now, children, stay with Christ. Live deeply in Christ. Then we'll be ready for him when he appears, ready to receive him with open arms, with no cause for red-faced guilt or lame excuses when he arrives. Once you're convinced that he is right and righteous, you'll recognize that all who practice righteousness are God's true children. There's a saying that you know a tree by its fruit, and that applies to people as well. We know what's inside a person by what shows on the outside. This is not a case of judging the book by a cover. It's a case of doing what the medical profession do. When they want to see what's going on inside the body, they draw a blood sample and check the blood to see what's present and what levels are doing what, and then they can see what is going on inside the body and make a diagnosis. So what's on the inside shows on the outside. When you squeeze a lemon, lemon juice comes out. When you squeeze an orange, orange juice comes out. And when you squeeze a grape, grape juice comes out. And so when we get shaken and squeezed by the circumstances in life, then what's inside generally tends to come out. And then we can see what's really going on the inside when people go through tough times. There's a warning in Matthew 7, verse 15 to 20. Message. Be wary of false preachers who smile a lot, dripping with practiced sincerity. Chances are they are out to rip you off some way or other. Don't be impressed with charisma. Look for character. Who preachers are is the main thing, not what they say. A genuine leader will never exploit your emotions or your pocketbook. These diseased trees with their bad apples are going to be chopped down and burned.
So yes, there are plenty of deceivers out and about in the world, and we do need to be careful what we listen to. And when we read and or listen to the Bible, when we read the Bible or listen to the Bible, we need to pray to the Holy Spirit. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand what he is saying to us. Because the Logos is the written word of God. That's the physical or electronic Bible that we read or listen to. But the Rhema is the revealed word of God. And that's when it drops into our spirits and becomes part of what we know. When we know that we know something, then the enemy cannot easily take that away from us. There's another warning in Jude 1, verse 1 to 4. From Judah, a loving servant of Jesus, the Anointed One, and brother of Jacob. That's James in other translations. I'm writing to the chosen ones who are wrapped in the love of Father God, kept and guarded for Jesus, the Messiah. May God's mercy, peace, and love cascade over you. Dearly loved friend, I was fully intending to write to you about our amazing salvation we all participate in, but felt the need instead to challenge you to vigorously defend and contend for the beliefs that we cherish. For God, through the apostles, has once for all entrusted these truths to his holy believers. There have been some who have sneaked in among you unnoticed. They are depraved people whose judgment was prophesied in Scripture a long time ago. They have perverted the message of God's grace into a license to commit immorality and turn against our only absolute Master, our Lord Jesus Christ. Walking the walk and talking the talk are ways of saying it's easy to speak about Christianity and Jesus and God and Holy Spirit. But when we live our lives the way Jesus lived his life, those little bracelets that said, "What would Jesus do?" They don't seem to be popular anymore. But that is a question that we need to continue to be asking ourselves, because we need to copy the one prime and beautiful and most excellent example given to us, recorded in Scripture, in the Gospels. And that example is the example of the life of Jesus Christ himself. Talking the talk is not what Jesus wants, and he said that in Matthew 7, verse 21-23, TPT. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter into heaven's kingdom. It is only those who persist in doing the will of my heavenly Father. On the day of judgment, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, don't you remember us? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons and do many miracles in your name?" But I will have to say to them, "Go away from me, you lawless rebels. I've never been joined to you." Some translations say, "I've never known you." Now that knowing is that intimate knowledge between husband and wife, where people really get to know each other at a deep level. This is, and also being joined to you is how husband and wife join each other and become one flesh. In the same way, Christ and the church are joined. When we become believers, when we become children of God, we are part of Christ's body and we become joined to Jesus. And God loves us as much as he loves Jesus. While human teachers can be useful, we need to learn from the Bible directly with the help of the Holy Spirit. Anything we hear from human teachers should be checked against Scripture, asking the Holy Spirit for revelation to know the truth. When reading or listening to the Bible, always ask the Holy Spirit for revelation, so that the Logos, that's the written word, becomes your personal Rhema, that's the revealed word. Let's look at the act of learning. There's theory and there's practice. The theory, well, that's the Bible, that's our textbook. That's reading, research, like school or university or college, where we get courses and degrees. And then there's practice. That's the faith tests, the challenges that look like problems. That's the equivalent of articles or internship or apprenticeship. That's the work experience. One prime example is King David. We read about him in the books of Samuel.
When we first read about David, he isn't king, he's a shepherd boy and also a musician. I'm guessing that to combat the loneliness and boredom of sitting and watching over sheep all day, he took an instrument. In those days, a portable, useful instrument was a harp. And it's basically the olden days equivalent of a guitar in today's music world. Now, when he was watching the sheep, there were obviously wild animals around. The ones that he mentions when speaking to King Saul were the lions and the bears, which are fairly large, fairly intimidating predators in the normal course of events. And he dealt with the lions and the bears because he had to. And every time he successfully dealt with a lion or a bear, it built his confidence. And when it came time to face up against Goliath, he wasn't much fazed by it because he was used to fighting enemies that were physically larger and stronger than himself. But with God by his side, with God's help and God's backing, he knew he could face the challenges and be victorious. And that's against lions and bears. And so when the challenge came from Goliath, he just saw it as another bear-sized problem, and he dealt with it as such. So he could have cried about all the bears and lions that he was facing. Oh, woe is me, I have to fight a lion today. Or, you know, God doesn't love me anymore, I have to fight off a bear today. But instead of doing that, he just became skilled in using a sling and grabbing them by the beard. Lions have beards, apparently. And, yeah, dealing with the wild, dangerous animals. And so when we are facing up against challenges, I challenge you and I challenge myself to stop moaning, to stop having a pity party, and to start praising God for the target practice. Because each time we win a fight against the demons, against the finances, against the accommodation issues, against whatever situations we're facing, each time we win against those circumstances, we gain confidence. And then when we face a bigger challenge, then we've got the spiritual muscle and the spiritual experience and the spiritual target practice to know that we can be victorious against the bigger challenges. James reflects the same sentiment in James 1 verse 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And to put it in perspective, we read Romans 8, verse 18, NKJV. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So, yeah, it's like having 5 cents worth of bad times and millions of rands worth of good times. This was put into practice by the apostles in Acts 5, verse 29 to 42. Message. Peter and the apostles answered, "It's necessary to obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, the one you killed by hanging him on a cross. God set him on high at his side, Prince and Saviour, to give Israel the gift of a changed life and sins forgiven. And we are witnesses to these things. The Holy Spirit, whom God gives to those who obey him, corroborates every detail." When they heard that, they were furious and wanted to kill him on the spot. But one of the council members stood up, a Pharisee by the name of Gamaliel, a teacher of God's law, who was honored by everyone. He ordered the men taken out of the room for a short time, then said, "Fellow Israelites, be careful what you do to these men. Not long ago, Thudas made something of a splash, claiming to be somebody, and got about 400 men to join him. He was killed, his followers dispersed, and nothing came of it. A little later, at the time of the census, Judas the Galilean appeared and acquired a following. He also fizzled out, and the people following him were scattered to the four winds. So I'm telling you, hands off these men. Let them alone. If this program or this work is merely human, it will fall apart. But if it is of God, there is nothing you can do about it, and you better not be found fighting against God." That convinced them. They called the apostles back in. After giving them a thorough whipping, they warned them not to speak in Jesus' name and sent them off. The apostles went out of the high council overjoyed because they had been given the honor of being dishonored on account of the name. Every day they were in the temple and homes, teaching and preaching Christ Jesus, not letting up for a minute. Wow, so these guys were facing death. The leaders wanted to kill them. And due to the intervention of a very well-known rabbi, they were not killed, but they were rather whipped. A thorough whipping is what they got. And they were sent off. They were released. And they didn't cry. They didn't have a pity party. They were overjoyed because they had been given the honor of being dishonored on account of the name. So when you suffer for doing bad things, that's not good. But when you suffer for being a child of God, for being a Christian, then your reward is in heaven. And we can't begin to imagine what is in store for us. And our putting up with difficulties on a day-to-day basis is tiny compared to the glory that is waiting for us. Final encouragement in Romans 5, verse 1 to 5. Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our precious will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So, we've got a good thing going. No matter how difficult life becomes, God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And therefore, we can shine our lights.